reads in the book of the Psalms. The psalm is the Psalm 80. Let's follow the reading in God's Word, please. The 80th Psalm, commencing to read at verse number 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou wast brought of thine out of Egypt. Thou wast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with a shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou hadst made strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy right hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And God allowed his blessing to the reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, thy Son. We thank thee that he is thy well-beloved, yet thy co-equal and co-eternal. We thank thee that he was in the bosom of the Father. We thank thee, our God, that he is God of very God, who became man of very man, that we might be brought into a living, lasting, eternal relationship with thee, a righteous and a holy God. We thank thee that he died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. We thank thee that he rose again. And we thank thee that he's at thy right hand, a prince and a savior. And thou hast said, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And we thank thee that thy son, the Lord Jesus, is coming again, King of kings and Lord of lords. And before him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he indeed is Lord. Remember the service this morning. For there are those in this gathering who have not bowed that knee and acknowledged thy Son as their Savior. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that even now that thou will bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Save them from thy wrath and thy judgment which is to come, and put them under the blood. Save them for all eternity. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray. For we ask these things, believing in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, the people of God said, Amen. Amen. I'm sure with me, as you have listened to the news these past days, you realize that there is a little nation in the world that finds itself in great turmoil. Its citizens and its people find themselves with their back against the wall. You will understand and know that that little nation is a little spot in the peoples of the world and amongst the nations of the world, and that little place is called Israel. The focus of attention today is upon that little land and the grief and the suffering and the pain and the anguish that the people of Israel are going through. And I believe that in these last days, that little nation in the world, just a little speck, as it were, on the map, so insignificant and so small, yet I do believe with all my heart that as we close in these last of the last days, that the land of Israel will become center stage, and all the world will gaze upon her, and everyone's eyes will be upon her in the Middle East. Now I know that in Christ Jesus that there are neither Jew nor Gentile. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, at that time, verse 12, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. And then it goes on to say that Christ is our peace, who hath made both one, have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. In verse 6 of chapter 3 it says, that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. But it is true, friends, that whilst there are neither Jew nor Gentile in the family of God, it is true that as you read the scriptures, that the little land and the peoples of Israel have a very special and a very specific place in the history of man, and God is working it out even at this very moment. Let us never forget this morning that for years the Jewish people were the sole preservers of precious truth which has been handed down to us. And yes, because of their unbelief, we have taken their place. We must never forget the love that God has that still burns in God's heart towards his people. And we'll see the day come when God shall gather Israel again unto himself. Now the Bible tells us in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 122, we are exhorted in that psalm to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122 verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they that shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. And the word of God tells us that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We read in the Psalm 80 this morning words concerning the people of Israel. And in the 80th Psalm, it was the prayer that David made. Yes, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And what was the prayer that was made here in the 80th Psalm, or rather a Psalm of Asaph? It says in verse 14, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. And the prayer of Asaph was this. It was, behold, O God, look down from heaven, behold, and visit this vine. I must confess that my heart and mind was drawn to the subject because of a conversation which I had with someone this week that has passed. I was challenged concerning the scriptures of truth. I was challenged concerning the veracity, the truthfulness, and the authority of the Old Testament. The person believed in the authority of the New Testament said it could be believed. But as far as the Old Testament was concerned, they said that the Old Testament is beyond belief. That person spoke about creation as if God never created the heaven and the earth and said it couldn't be. Told me how the scientists for billions of years tells us that the world is billions of years old. And they tell us about all of the things that the scientists have told us and the theories of Darwin and all the rest of it. And said that we cannot rely upon the authority of the Word of God. They spoke concerning Noah. How could God, or how could all the animals and the creatures that are upon the earth, how could two of every kind of creature, how could they go into the ark? It just could not be. And they cast it aside as fiction. And I was challenged, can you prove one thing in the Old Testament that will make us believe that the Old Testament is reliable and it is authority, it is the Word of God? Amidst some of the answers which I gave, I answered this: Israel. Israel. And I believe with all my heart that when you look at this little land and this little plot of ground of which Israel holds today, I believe that we have one of the greatest authorities and proofs of the authority of the Word of God. I want you to think with me for a few moments, first of all, this morning, the planting of Israel. You consider Israel as a people. Israel has a history that no other nation in the world can claim. You notice how she is depicted in the 80th Psalm. Verse 8 it says, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt." And that was the picture that's given in verse 14. "Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted." We find that the vine was peculiarly a type of Palestine or of the Jewish nation. The psalmist talks in verse 8 about bringing the vine out of Egypt. And then you'll notice in verse 8 it also says, "Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it." And you look at the history of Israel. And not only did God bring Israel out of Egypt, but you notice what God did. He cast out the nations that were in Canaan. And God cast them out, that he might find a trench wherein he would place Israel's root and would permit her to strike deep and possess the soil. Verse 9 it says, "Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars." And as you think about the planting of Israel, and you think about the past of Israel, and you think about God's mighty interventions, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt." It was God that did it. It says, "Thou hast cast out the heathen." And it was you, Lord. It was thou, Lord, that didst plant Israel in this land out of which you cast the heathen for her sake. And friend, you think of the history of that land and how that God planted. How that God planted, and God planted her roots deep. Notice, God, thou didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. And that's exactly what God did when God planted Israel in that little piece of ground on Mother Earth. Think of how God in the wilderness, how that God, rather at the Red Sea, when Israel's back was against the wall. The children of Israel, on either side there were mountains. Behind them there was the Egyptian army coming, speeding along, seeking to take them into captivity again and into bondage, to afflict them once more. There was the Red Sea before them. And yet how that God took the children of Israel across that Red Sea. And how that for their sake God cast the rider and his horse into the depths of the sea. And God delivered them. But that was not only the only deliverance that God gave them. See them in the wilderness. How that God turned the very rock into a pool of water. And how that when they came to Jordan, as the priest stood in the midst of Jordan there, all the hosts of God's people crossed that Jordan as on dry ground, because the Bible tells us they were dry shod. Neither can we forget how that God planted the vine in Canaan. Do you remember how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down with the noise of the ram's horns and the shout of Israel, for God was in the midst of his people. Think of all the deliverances, how that God intervened. Friends, this morning, ponder afresh how that the sun stood still upon Gibeon, and how that the moon stood in the valley of Ajalon, because God had promised to give Israel the land which floweth with milk and honey. Think of the planting of Israel, and how that God planted her for the glory of his name. Then I asked you secondly to think something more. Think not only of the planting of Israel, think of the prosperity of Israel. Because not only does the Bible say that God planted her, but it says in verse 10 of chapter 80 of the Psalms, the hills were covered with a shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Think of the prosperity of this land. Not only did God place her there, but God blessed her there. Think of the insignificant little piece of ground, friend. And yet there is no other nation under heaven with greater influence in the world today. The world's eyes are upon that little piece of ground. In the dawn of creation, when God created man, he made him perfect. But man willfully sinned. But God followed after man. Amidst the idolatry of man's heart, and under which man's heart had sunk, God still shone the light of truth. How did he do it? He shone the light of truth by the way of Israel. Do you remember in the days of Solomon? The days when God blessed the people of Israel. Do you remember the dedication of the temple in Solomon's day? And even that woman came, that queen of Sheba, if you turn in 2 Kings chapter 10. And she came the whole distance, and she made her way to Israel, she made her way to Jerusalem. And it tells us in the 10th chapter of 2 Kings in verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And then we'll come to 1 Kings. It's 1 Kings. But 2 Chronicles chapter 9. In verse 8 it says this, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel, to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them, to do judgment and justice. That's what the Queen of Sheba said in 2 Chronicles 9 and verse 8. Because thy God loved Israel. That God made thee to be king for the Lord thy God. Go to 1 Kings chapter 9. And in 1 Kings, or chapter 10 rather, verse 1. And when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Why did she come?
because you heard of Solomon? No. But it says she came concerning the name of the Lord. And how that amidst the idolatry, in the midst of darkness, in the days of Solomon, in the temple of God, there stand, it stood upon that holy hill. And even that far off queen came because she knew his greatness was connected with the worship of God. In that same chapter, if you look at verse 23, it says, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And when I read of the glory of the temple, and I read of the glory of the days of Solomon, and then I look at Israel today, surely my heart cries out as in a psalm, O God, look down, O God, and visit this vine. Israel needs the visitation of God. We see her planting. We see her prosperity. But thirdly, think of her pangs, or her pain. Because you see, in the midst of all the blessing of God, Israel sinned against God. She turned her back on God. Friend, before we condemn Israel, is it not true, perhaps there's someone here this morning, and you have also turned your back on God? There was a time whenever the light of your love shone bright for Jesus. Whenever you stood as a testimony for God and truth. Whenever your lamp for Christ was burning brightly. But where is it today? Where is your witness? Where is that lamp of truth that shines for the Lord? Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Oh, God needs to turn again to your heart, that the light of your testimony may shine again. Friend, the lamp of your testimony has gone out. Israel's light went out. She sinned against God. She turned her back on God. She went to whoring after strange gods. But what did the Queen of Sheba say? God loved Israel. And because God loved her, God chastened her. Why? Because whom the Lord loveth, he has to chasten. And God chastened Israel. And he chastened her over and over again. But Israel went back to her sin until at last it came to banishment from that land that they loved. It came to the people being scattered. Now, it just didn't happen a moment. Israel desired a king. And you remember Saul came and took the throne. And after Saul, there came David, a man after God's own heart. And after David, there came Solomon. And after Solomon, divided kingdom. Israel had sinned and came under the judgment of God, and the kingdom was divided. She was no longer united as she ought to be under God. You see, they got tired of God's rule. They wanted the rule of man. They wanted to be like the nations around them. They didn't want to obey God. They wanted a king. So it is today. Many of God's people, they're tired of God's rule in their lives. And they want a portion of the action themselves. They're tired of God's command and God's direction. And we find the kingdom was divided. The 10 northern tribes were organized as Israel, but the 2 southern tribes, they became Judah. Now, God raised up prophets. And when God raised up those prophets, God raised them up to warn. Yes, God raised up the prophets to warn Israel, the 10 tribes. And God raised up prophets to warn Judah.
But Israel and Judah yet sinned. They weren't broken. They were rebellious.
Instead of breaking under the chastisement of God, they were rebellious.
There came the pangs of the Jews. And maybe, friends, God has been dealing with your heart. And instead of getting broken, you've got more rebellious.
Instead of falling down before God and crying out to God that God would cause His face to shine upon your life again, instead of being broken before God and having that contrite heart,
you've got more rebellious. Friend, God will have to break you. And God will. Because God loves you.
And so although God raised up the prophets, those 10 northern tribes, they were taken into captivity. They became captives by the Assyrians in 721 BC.
And if you want in your own Bible time to read the history, the historical background of that, go to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapters 15 to 17 and read it for yourself. But they went into captivity.
You see, my friend, there's something I want you to notice in what happened here. Because not only through Israel's sin, listen to me, not only through Israel's sin did she break God's law, but she broke God's heart. And not only are you through your sin today breaking God's law, but you're breaking God's heart.
There are parents today that are in this gathering, and you know exactly what it is for a child to break your heart. There are families all around us. And you know just as well as I do that your children can bring us disappointment and heartache and heartbreak and many a silent tear that no one ever sees. And parent, your heart is broken. Many years ago, I remember a person, they had no children. And there's a man came to this couple and was laughing and said, you know, you have no children. Why don't you have children? And the answer came, my children, if they don't make me laugh, they'll never make me cry. There's many a child of God today that's breaking the heart of God. Walking in rebellion. Walking in open and known sin. And you're not only breaking the heart of your family or friends, or even breaking the heart of God's people. You're breaking the heart of God. Breaking the heart of God. I was just reading in the book of Hosea, in the chapter 11. And the verse 7 and 8 says this, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. This is God speaking, friend. My people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah?
How shall I set thee as him? My heart is turned within me.
Breaking the heart of God.
And Israel sinned. And because of her sin, she endured captivity and was brought into the Assyrian captivity. But what about Judah? Judah sees the captivity of Israel. Judah sees the disciplining hand of God. Judah sees what happens when a people backslide and turn away from God and walk in the paths of disobedience and know what it is, the afflicting rod upon their back. Surely, surely Judah will listen. Surely Judah will hear. And God raised up the prophets. And God warned them. And through the prophets, God begged and besought Judah to turn from her sin.
But did she do it? No, friend. She had to learn the hard way. And she did.
You see, the law of the harvest is true. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Judah sinned against God, friend. And that even though she saw the warnings of God before her eyes and knew what sin had done and backsliding had done to Israel, yet Judah sinned. And although God warned her of captivity, we read this morning in Ezekiel, what did they say? Chapter 11 of Ezekiel. It says in verse 2 of chapter 11, then said he unto me, son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in the city, which say, it is not near. It is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. They still were as proud and as haughty and unbroken and unbent and unbowed. That's why God said in chapter 12, verse 2, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. For they have eyes to see, and they see not, they have ears to hear, but they hear not. They are a rebellious house. Let's build houses. Because it's not near. It's not near us. We can't be touched.
In the year 606 BC, Judah, for her sin, fell into captivity. In that year, 606 BC, as I finish this morning, the Babylonians began the first of several deportation of the Jews. And in that first deportation, there was a young man, his name was Daniel. He was one of the first group to go into captivity in the deportation of the Jews. In the second group, there was a young man called Ezekiel. He was taken into captivity in 957 BC. When he was taken into captivity, he was a young man of 25 years of age. 5 years later, God called him to be a prophet. That was 6 years before the destruction
of Jerusalem in 586 BC. He warned them, but they wouldn't listen.
Then as I finish this morning in the will of God, come back to this message next Sunday morning, because God's not finished with Israel. The world's watching her like she never watched her before. God has still plenty to say.
He said, one day I've loved thee with an everlasting love. But can I say this? What more has God to say to you, friend? What more can God say? What has God to do? What rod has God to lay upon our backs before we will repent of our sin and cry unto God and say, turn unto us, O Lord. Turn unto us. Cause thy face to shine. O God, visit this vine.